die.
Hello and welcome into an abundance of not. Oh, we've been having some fun with sound effects. Unfortunately, you, our listeners, will not be privileged to this time.
Human-made sound effects, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Anyway,
it is February the 4th, a lovely Wednesday. I mean, it's lovely for us. I mean, it's Southern California. Who can complain? I can, but no one cares. I'm here, right? Garrett, obviously, Brad, and Wade laughing in the background.
Yo.
That would be me.
That would be you. So how's it going, fellas?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Had Wade? A fairly busy weekend.
Reary.
You go, Raggy.
Feel free to share at any time. It's fine.
So, I don't know that we've covered it previously in our previous episode, but my wife and I tend to be fairly impulsive and fairly, what's the word I'm after?
Crazy?
Crazy. Crazy is a good one, actually. unconventional with our definitions of near and far and how far we're prepared to travel just for fun.
Okay.
So I landed Friday morning, and we got some stuff taken care of around the house. And we went backwards and forwards on what we wanted to do for the weekend. And crazy idea. I said, let's go to St. Louis, which is about a 6.5 hour drive. There were some things we wanted to see there. Some things we wanted to do, so we packed up and we drove to St. Louis.
Nice.
So that was Friday, Saturday. While we were in St. Louis, we visited some of the local attractions there. City Garden, City Museum. If you're ever in St. Louis, look them up. They are awesome. You need to check them out. And then we were supposed to stay the night Saturday night as well, and we got word that there was a huge snowstorm rolling through at home, or was going to, so we decided, you know, it might be best if we go ahead and head home. So we packed up and drove home Saturday night, got home about 2 o'clock Sunday morning, just in time for the snow to start falling. We ended up getting but right around 10 to 12 inches.
Wow.
Oof. Yeah. Yep. So we had Sunday. We stayed in and we watched Gone Girl.
Okay.
And ordered pizza and then watched the Super Bowl.
There we go. That sounds like an eventful weekend, making a 12-hour round trip to St. Louis.
I mean, absolutely.
I can't really compete with that. Well, Saturday, we finally got a washer-dryer.
Nice.
You know, and to many young people out there, they think, big deal. It's a big deal.
You try going to a laundromat every week.
Yeah. Not fun. So, not so we much. We finished our tile work the weekend prior, and Wade sealed the grout that we had laid during the week, so we freed us up to get a washer dryer Saturday, which we got. Went down to some family friends to watch the Super Bowl Sunday. You know, a lot of conversation following the game.
Yeah, how about that game?
I only would like to preface it with, it's easy to look at a play and say, well, we could have done this instead because it didn't work. But in the moment, you call what you can call, and it works out how it works out. Hopefully it's in your favor. I applaud the Patriots, I guess he's an outside linebacker, for being where he was and making the catch that he made. It's as a rookie. And I chastise the Seahawks receiver for, you know, being so fixated on Russ and not on what was going on around him. And, you know, again, the play call, we can disagree with it all we want, but if he would have caught it, he might have scored a touchdown. no one would be saying anything at all. So it's easy to criticize when it doesn't go our way.
Monday morning quarterback.
Yep, exactly. But it was a good game overall. I mean, it was a better football game for the quality of football than the Super Bowl was last year when the Seahawks destroyed Broncos. So, you know, there's that. And, you know, a true fan deals with the hardships in partnership with the triumphs.
Yes, so. I know.
It's coming from Brad, who likes the Colts for some reason. I don't know why.
We are 12. We are Legion. We will return.
There you go. Wade, anything notable you want to touch base on?
I feel older.
You know, I'm starting to see some gray hair. You might want to get that looked at.
No, that's my birthmark. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah. I did have my birthday on Monday.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. Reworking, actually, I did state in an earlier podcast that I was getting a new position.
Yes. Remember?
Yes.
Yes, well, turns out the times where I would have started at like 11 a.m.
Talk about sleeping in.
What's that?
Talk about sleeping in.
Well, yeah, but it was like 5 hours a shift.
Sure.
So, which I couldn't take. And which I thought would be also less money. So on, you know, the morning I came in early because I also had to get my badge refreshed to actually enter the airport. So I went down, talked to HR, and she's like, oh, no, you're getting more money. And, oh, there's this other same title, same unit open. And would you like that one? Yeah, I'll take it over the other guy because I have more company seniority.
So let me summarize real quick. Wade is having a full-time position now. The position he wanted to go for, what was available at the time, was a part-time position, even though it was more money. Hourly was a pay cut due to time. When he went in to say, you know what, no thanks, a full-time position opened up.
Nice.
So that's the Cliff Notes version.
And so most of the days I will no longer have to be waking up at 4:30 in the morning, but more of akin to being needing to be at work at 9 or 9:30. So
that's a big change for you.
Yeah, but with the traffic out that way, you'll still have to wake up at 4:30.
That's true.
Nope, I do know my way around side streets to get there.
That's awesome, though. Yep. So you're still getting the pay raise and full time.
Yep, still making more money and not having to wake up so early, being able to stay dry. So, hey, it's a win on all accounts for me.
There you go.
Then had a nice little birthday get together with some of coworkers. And yeah, that was a fun night.
Yeah, tell us about that, because I wasn't privileged to that.
I did go to a sports bar a bit north at the block.
Okay.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Nice place. Okay. So we met up multiple coworkers there. We all, you know, ate, had some fun. After everyone kind of had their fill, some went home and 4 of us stayed and decided to go to David Buster's and have shots.
Oh, and what boy.
What sort of shots did we have?
I don't know.
That's the correct answer for your birthday, though. I mean,
that whole evening is just a blur.
No, I know what occurred there. I just don't know what the shots were. I think one was a Jager Bomb. Another one was a pink lemonade. There was a Scooby snack in there. There was, yeah, it was a...
So you bellied up to the bar and told them to give you the sample platter?
Well, the other two guys that were with me, two of my coworkers, and then the other one was a girlfriend of theirs, of his. So, you know, they were just like, okay, we're having this drink, and here's the money. Like, they were just, I didn't have to pay a drop. Well, I did for a tip, but... For the shots, they just kept throwing money, and just shots were just kept coming.
Well, that's awesome for your
that's
birthday.
That's how you rock it for your birthday.
Yeah, so they're like, yeah, we're going to make up for the last 2 years. I was like, all right, cool.
No argument here.
Well, long story short, I was pretty, totally sober.
Totally sober.
So I decided to not drive, knowing the state that I was in.
Good call.
Slept it off in the passenger seat of the car. Woke up around 3:25, drove to the parking lot of the airport, and tried to get a little more sleep before going into work.
Fell asleep in the passenger seat of the car, woke up in the police impound lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful as a public service announcement. If you are drunk and you're walking to your car, if you have the keys in at least California and you're within a certain distance of your car,
you have intent to drive.
The police will cite you even if your intent is to go sleep in the passenger seat. You know, you can fight it because how can they prove your intent? You know, there's no way to, especially if you're approaching the passenger side of the car. You know, you can't get popped for a DUI because you weren't driving, but that's a hassle you have to deal with. But unfortunately, what other option do you have? You know, take a cab somewhere, leave your car. You know, it's a price to pay, especially if you're not thinking you're going to go heavy that night and you end up due. Now, if you can plan ahead, then you're better off.
Hit up Uber or whatever, I don't know.
Yep.
But not with their prices, apparently.
Or reputation.
Yep. So a couple little final things on the personal stuff, then we can get into more fun and exciting things.
What's more exciting than drinking? What the hell is wrong with you?
I wasn't the one drinking.
That's your problem. Fun about it.
Yeah, a little bitter, actually. Let's see. We have talked about animal sitting in the past. Our dad went up to Washington, and we were watching his dog, his cat, and his parrot. He has since picked those up. The house is a quieter, calmer place, so that's fantastic. I want to touch base for our YouTube followers. We have been trying to provide as much content as possible without complete bombardment. I know Wade's got a few different series up. I have started a new series based on a very near and dear game to my heart for PS1 called Oddworld Abe's Exodus. There will be, there's one video that is live now. The next one will post Friday.
Such a weird game.
Friday. It's a weird game, but it's got its quirks and it's just fun and funny. So take a look at that. It's pretty entertaining. Again, I love it and I'm probably gonna do a full playthrough because it just makes me laugh.
Yeah, and if you know the lore on that thing, that was actually like a racist war that went on to actually then put into that setting of that game. It's weird.
It's weird. So I encourage you to take a look. It's pretty interesting. Wade, you've got...
Go to, I think it was the YouTube channel Lore. They do have a video about that. Basically, the Mudokons were actually pretty smart beings.
Sure.
And the, how do I say this vaguely? The image of what appeared on the moon spurred them on to them believing they were the, you know, best there could ever be in terms of races.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a,
I'll have to take a look.
Strange thing.
You've got a couple series you're working on, right?
Yep. Building a steady list. I'm going to be doing a lot of organizing and recording tomorrow. Still working on just getting everything all ironed out so it's nice, flat, and smooth.
Okay, so Wade and I did do a joint Minecraft recording, so that some of those should be starting to appear here in the near future.
Yep, I gotta cut it all out and set it all up.
And Brad is starting to dabble into the video realm.
Starting to dabble.
Dabble, little dabbler.
How do you do that?
Little dabbling here. So yeah, I did some recording. I don't know. I tend to be a little bit of a perfectionist though. So I haven't been able to edit it to my liking, so you may not ever see it, but...
just post it, you sack.
If I can get it to look halfway decent, then there may be some more content coming from my direction.
You gotta start somewhere. If it sucks, it's fine. We'll just judge you as hardly as we always do.
I know you will.
Yep.
That's what I love about you guys.
I've heard many a YouTuber look back in their earlier videos and go,
Ew, what was I thinking?
Yep.
So, on a little bit of a tangent here, just so you know, seeing as you love Oddworld so much, you do know that there's an Oddworld available for iOS, correct?
No.
Okay, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Son of a monkey.
God.
All right.
Oddworld Stranger's Wrath.
Oh, okay. That was released on Xbox.
Yes.
I like that game. That game
which
was fun.
Pissed me off because I think it was when PlayStation 2 and Xbox came out, there was two Oddworld games that were on PlayStation 1. And then when the next gen, Oddworld had then contracted with Xbox and they had...
Munch's Odyssey?
They had Munch's Odyssey and Stranger's Wrath both for Xbox. And they were working on a third game and then they got into a developmental dispute with their production company and pretty much caused them to close their doors and stop on a much darker game that they were working on. Mm. So that's depressing.
Well, Munch's Odyssey was released for Xbox in 2001.
Yes.
But you will be happy to know that they finally got around to releasing it for PlayStation 3 in 2012.
Interesting.
Yes.
I have to say 11 that,
years later.
Yeah. After the Abe series, Stranger's Wrath was interesting. I never really got into Munch's Odyssey because it's more of a 3D experience, whereas the original two were side-scrollers. It's kind of like playing the Mario Brothers, right? 1, 2, and 3 were side-scrolling, and then when it went to Super Mario 64, it had that 3D deal. Munch's is kind of that same transition. It didn't really have the same vibe. Even though Abe made an appearance, it wasn't about him. So anyway, we're going off on a tangent on an old game. If you want to know what we're talking about, head over to the YouTube channel, take a look. It's called Oddworld Abe's Exodus. And it is, again, I love it. But with that, we are going to jump into some movies. All right, so in movie news, we've got 5 movies coming out this week. First one being Jupiter Ascending. This is PG-13, critic rating of 36%, starring Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum, and our wonderfully beloved Ned Stark, Sean Bean himself. Movie follows Jupiter Jones, born under the night sky, whose signs predicting she will be destined for great things. Now grown, Jupiter dreams of stars, but wakes up in the cold reality of a job cleaning other people's houses and an endless run of bad luck. Only when Kane, a genetically engineered ex-military hunter, arrives on Earth to track her down, does Jupiter begin to glimpse the fate that has been waiting for her all along. Her genetic signature marks her as the next line for an extraordinary inheritance that could alter the balance of the cosmos. I am surprised it only got 36%.
The previews look pretty good. I've seen some of the trailers, and I was interested.
It's visually stunning.
Yeah.
I guess the stories may fall flat, but the kid is really interested in seeing it, so we might see that next weekend when we have her again. Also coming out is Seventh Son. This is not critically rated as of yet, rated PG-13, starring Jeff Bridges, Julianne Moore, and Ben Barnes. For those who are keeping track, he played Prince Caspian in the Narnia series. An evil is about to be unleashed that will reignite the war between the forces of a supernatural and humankind. A knight who had imprisoned them malevolently powerful witch centuries ago must do so again. She has escaped and is seeking vengeance, summoning her followers on every incarnation. Malkin, who is the witch, is preparing to unleash her terrible wrath, on the unsuspecting world. Only one thing stands in her way, the knight. In a deadly reunion, Knight Gregory comes face to face with the evil he has always feared would someday return. He is only the next full moon to do what usually takes years, train a new apprentice, Tom, to fight the dark magic unlike Tom? Any other. Tom. I mean, it's Carry Knight on. Gregory, so I mean, I guess Tom's not all that far off.
Yeah.
Man's only hope lies in the seventh son of a seventh son. So it'll be interesting to see what the critics come back on that one with.
I have a kind of a feeling about it, but
yeah, I'm not getting fuzzies from it.
I'm not rushing out to go see it. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Well, the next movie you should rush out to go see has a 73%. It is rated PG. It follows the world's favorite sea-dwelling invertebrate who comes ashore to our world for his most superheroic adventure yet. Yes, I am talking about SpongeBob in Sponge Out of Water.
In Sponge Out of Water.
In the movie titled Sponge Out of Water. How about that?
There you go.
Are you better?
It's a little less ambiguous there.
Number four in our list of five is Love, Rosie. This is critically rated at 29%. Viewer awareness at rated R. Since the moment that they met at age five, Rosie and Alex had been best friends, facing the highs and lows of growing up side by side. A fleeting shared moment, one missed opportunity, and the decisions that follow send their lives in completely different directions. As each navigates the complexities of life, love, and everything in between, they always find their way back to each other. But is it just friendship or something more? This is based on a Cecilia Ahern's novel by the same title. I believe it's noted to say Alex. I believe Alex is female as well. Synopsis was not very clear on that. So I'm just full of answers, apparently.
Yeah.
Number five of five is The Voice, rated 84%, critic rated R. I believe this to be kind of a limited release movie. Jerry is a seemingly normal man trying to succeed in his new job at the Milton Bathtub Factory. He lives in a normal apartment, the type you would expect from a young bachelor, with his dog Bosco and cat Mr. Whiskers. Yet something seems off. As he is the new guy at work, Jerry is asked to help plan the company picnic, and he meets Fiona, an attractive English girl from accounting. Jerry immediately takes a liking to Fiona and excitedly goes home to tell his pets about her, and surprisingly, they answer. But all this is just the beginning of an insanely bizarre and twisted tale.
I hope he realizes Fiona's already involved with Shrek. I mean, this is a mess.
You know, I mean, to each their own.
Turns out, love. Actually a drug.
I think that'd scare the crap out of me if I came home and said something to the cat and he's like, so what did you think was going to happen?
You wouldn't talk
not
that.
You talk, So, is this supposed to be a new take on Dr. Doolittle?
I have no idea. Perhaps.
Okay.
I'm kind of curious to see what the trailer looks like, actually.
Yeah. Check it out.
To wrap up movies in the box office this week, we have American Sniper pulls in an additional $30.7 million. Project Almanac, which was the released last week, pulled in $8.3 million. Paddington tied that at $8.3 million as well, followed by Black or White at $6.2 million, wrapping up our top four. Inside movie news, Game of Thrones episode 4.9 and 4.10 only has another couple days available to be seen in selected IMAX theaters. If you're interested, the clock is ticking.
Have you guys gone to see that?
No. Haven't had the
Is it anywhere near you?
Well, we have two separate theaters that have IMAX capabilities.
Screens, right?
I don't know if either one are showing it, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, can't answer that very well. But with that, we're done with movies, which means it's time for news.
Well, we're not quite done with movies, but we're going to shift gears to movies of a different kind.
Adult movies?
What's that?
Adult movies?
No, not adult movies. Streaming movies.
Oh, streaming movies.
Yes. Streaming movies and not streaming adult movies.
Oh.
Netflix, our wonderful entertainment friends over at Netflix, posted their data traffic for the quarter ending December. And there's some astounding numbers in there that are going to be very difficult to wrap our heads around. But you should get a couple drinks out of this. So, fourth quarter 2014, Netflix streamed, take a drink, 7.8 billion hours of videos.
That's awesome.
Now, we have sufficient broadband capabilities now that most people had an average quality of HD, which brought their total traffic bill to 24 million terabytes of data in 3 months.
That's a lot of bytes.
That's a big bite.
It's a lot of content.
That is, yes. That's quite a bit of growth as well. The first quarter 2014, Netflix streamed 6.5 billion hours. So it was a 1.3 billion hour increase, which totaled 19.5 million terabytes. So an extra, 4.5 million terabytes.
That's ridiculous.
That is a lot of data.
Good for them.
Absolutely. They're growing. They're growing and growing and growing. In 2015, Netflix plans to release 320 hours of original content.
Okay. So an original content episode is typically 45 minutes to an hour. A general TV series season, rather, is anywhere from like 13 to 20 episodes. Okay, so let's go on the high side and say that's 20 hours per series. And they're releasing 300 hours?
320 hours.
Holy crap.
Well, you figure... I haven't heard any announcements, but I'm pretty sure... No, I know for sure House of Cards is coming back.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure Orange is the New Black is coming back.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we covered it on the podcast. I believe it was Adam Sandler has a movie deal with Netflix.
It's true, but he's not going to be releasing too many movies in the same year, I would imagine.
No, not necessarily, but you figure it all adds up.
And you figure that's only an hour and a half here or there, versus a series is 20-ish hours of content.
And sure. I do believe just today they released a trailer for Daredevil series.
Netflix has a deal with DreamWorks. They are doing an original series based on Puss in Boots.
Oh, really?
Really? In fact, season one is already available.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm kind of proud of them. They've kept the prices low, and yet they're doing tremendous amount of original stuff. You know, they've been given the runaround for years from the studios, and finally they've told the studios, well, fine, you know, we'll work with you where we can, and the rest of it, stick it, because we'll just make our own stuff.
I'm a little surprised, though, that they can produce that much content, because, you know, a TV channel has their advertising that they get in chunks, you know, throughout even a single hour of content. Netflix, you don't have any of that. You only have a $7 or $8 or $9. Didn't they have different tiers, or did that not get implemented yet?
I believe new people, if you sign up today, pay a little higher than those of us that have had it for a while do, but our fees will be going up to match in a couple years.
Yeah, so you figure it's $8 an account. That they can make enough revenue to do this based on only that is surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's amazing.
I guess that's my statement.
Sure. I think it's amazing.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's about time somebody on a big scale was able to compete with mainstream media.
Absolutely.
So, good on
them. Now, good on them, but as consumers, I would also put out, you know, we need to be a little bit wary that we're not just trading one evil for another. You know, we've spent decades in the stranglehold of NBC, Universal, and Disney, etc.
Yep.
You know, we have to be careful that we're not just trading them all in for Netflix.
Sure.
As the next big stranglehold.
Yep, I would agree.
So, you know, any budding entrepreneurs listening to the podcast, definitely still look into creating some kind of competition. You know, there's room in the market for competing online movie studios. You don't have to stick to the traditional model, you know.
Well, I think YouTube opens up a lot of that, too. I mean, obviously, we produce our content, and we're small potatoes by every definition compared to people who have, you know, walked the path before us.
Sure.
There are people making healthy livings doing it, producing content daily, some of which is, I mean, some of it's just video game content. Some people are doing cinematic stuff. It's amazing, and everyone has the potential to be the next big thing, which I love about YouTube. But there's no restrictions besides your own investment of time and equipment. So, anyway.
And hopefully it stays that way. There's YouTube has started to tighten the screws on some of the music content creators.
Yep.
In a way that is not looking promising. I hope they learn and back off from that and continue to let YouTube be an open platform for developing content.
I would agree.
Well, unfortunately, there's not just YouTube that's tightening screws, but Nintendo as well.
I didn't know they had screws left to tighten.
They thought they backed them all out.
Most of them are screw loose, but whatever.
They lost them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They've just released their content program, which is a affiliation with developers or content creators on YouTube. Problem is, you have to sign in or register for this program. And even though they are offering a 60%, and this is for ad revenue, a 60% that they give you on videos, and then 70% ad revenue given to you on your channel if it's Nintendo based. And most YouTubers are saying, yeah, this was a bad split a while ago. We're not going to take this. We'll just not do Nintendo games. And even though that's that, their videos also must be approved by Nintendo. So you can't have any negative comments. So they can just go, oh, nope, you don't get to upload that because you speak of our stuff in negative light. And yet they also have to disclose that they're sharing ad revenue with Nintendo as well.
Yeah, so essentially if you're YouTube content creator and some of your content is Nintendo products, you have to sign a legal agreement and be giving Nintendo part of your ad revenues for showcasing their games and products.
And I've heard from the 60 split that most YouTubers don't want to take that.
Well, and I can understand that because if I understand correctly, the ad revenue with YouTube is already a 60-40 split. So
between Google, YouTube, and the content creator?
Yes.
Okay.
So whatever we generate in ad revenue, we hand 40% to YouTube as a thank you for hosting our product, and we take 60%. But from what I'm hearing from this, that 60% we now have to divide
60-40
with Nintendo if we cover their content. Yeah, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is if this is where Nintendo is trying to make up lost revenue, they're not going about it well, and it's the wrong avenue to do that. And it's just going to make people not cover any of their content, which means no spotlighting, which means, you know, no free advertising. I mean, that's what YouTube is for the video game industry, is free advertising and reviews and advocations. The other concept to be aware of is a lot of people that are on YouTube are affiliated with larger groups, and those groups take a percentage of that ad revenue as well. So it's getting split a lot of different ways if you are a very successful person who is aligned yourself with other successful people. And now Nintendo wants to come and essentially split just kill that opportunity.
Oh, and I think you raise a good point there that, you know, those of us that are playing these games are essentially doing free advertising for the companies.
Yeah.
You know, here's the game, here's how it works, here's how you play it, here's, you know, how awesome it is. We get passionate about it. You know, we're essentially doing a free product spot for them. And now they want us to pay. They want us to pay to advertise their games. Correct. That's not how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's be honest, most of the YouTubers, us included here, we're not getting these games for free. No way, nope. How.
Exactly.
Unless it's like, yeah, this was free, and we would probably say that. No, we buy these games out of our own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless we're getting, you know, beta access by, you know, signing up with the company, and usually those are at no cost, but it's beta, so you can't, that's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing if they're giving us the game and saying, hey, we'll give you the game, but we need 20% of your ad revenue that you generate from that content. Okay, I mean, it's you can kind of play that side of it, but that's not what's happening here.
Not only this, but apparently the approval process takes somewhere between 3 days. So if you've been anywhere near YouTube, you know that the person that gets the content out first gets all the views. So if you're having to make a piece of content, having to ship it off somewhere, wait 3 days for a reply saying yay or nay, when if it's nay, there goes all your work for that.
Oh, and 3 days is a lifetime in YouTube time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we're talking the equivalent of years.
Maybe not quite that bad, but...
Maybe not quite that bad, months.
Can
but,
feel yeah. that way when you've put, you know, say you recorded something for an hour, and then you've spent another half hour to an hour editing and refining that content to put out a product that you're proud of, and then Nintendo says, yeah, no, you said you didn't like the way that area looked over there, and we don't want that in the video, so we're declining the video.
I mean, now you have to recut it.
Assuming you know why they're declining it, they could just say no, and it's like, well, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a bit better from what Nintendo had earlier, where it was just, oh, you have our product? Well, we're gonna content strike you. Copyright content strike you. And they were handing those things like Oprah hands out cars just left, right, and center.
But correct me if I'm wrong, you can only get content strike if you're trying to monetize something, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Okay, no. So they can content strike mm-hmm. on any, even if you don't monetize it.
And that's a major hit for any channel.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
monetizing like makes it flag it, like look at me harder. But they're the IP owners, right? I mean, they own Mario. So if they want to say you're not allowed to have Mario, that's within their rights, actually.
Yeah, and that's fine, you know. But don't come out to the press and say, oh, we'll let you start doing this now. Oh, but you're not really going to want to anyway. I mean, why change your policy? I mean, you get
60 taken off once. Thank you, YouTube. 60 taken off again if you're part of a group. And then 60
not necessarily taken... 60 taken off if you're part of a group. It depends on the group that you're with.
Okay, well, for just layman's
terms. But still, there's percentages there's taken cuts. Off yeah,
then there's,
every way along.
Then there's the 60 again from for Nintendo. It's like, okay, I made 6 cents.
Yeah.
Great. Great,
thanks. Anyway.
And considering we're covering costs, you know, out of our pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, from one tech giant to another, you could say, our good friends over at Amazon surprised Wall Street with their final quarter of 2014. Wall Street had, you know, published that they expected certain gains out of the internet retailer, and those were crushed. Amazon reportedly makes roughly one-third of its annual revenue from the months of October to December, which...
Otherwise known as Christmas shopping.
Otherwise known as Christmas shopping. Their revenue, pour yourself a shot, was $29.3 billion in the quarter, which showed a 45-cent increased earnings per share on Wall Street, which... destroyed the average prediction of only 17 cent a share increase. It was a surprise to Wall Street because Wall Street had kind of gone back to Amazon and said, we think in your best interests, you're going to want to kind of slow down on all your investments. Investments being the quality of their own productions, much like Netflix, the cloud computing capabilities they were offering, the consumer devices like the tablets and the phones and whatnot, and some of those with mixed successes. So Wall Street kind of said, you know what, you're kind of diversifying and not all of them are paying off. We think you should kind of maybe slow down a little bit and stick with what works. Well, what works, works really well. And
apparently Amazon knows what works.
Yeah. And they're not going anywhere. On a side note, or rather continuation, we talked about the consumer devices, the tablets, the phones, and whatnot. Well, the Amazon Fire series of tablets has taken a big hit, especially when compared to the year prior. Whereas the tablet industry has declined recently, it's down, even for Apple, it's down 17%. For Amazon, from the year prior, it's down 69% of shipped devices. Now, the stats are only for devices that vary in size from 7 inches to 17 inches. So the Amazon Fire HD 6 was not factored in into the numbers. And Amazon says that that is their bread and butter from the device standpoint. They sell more of those than anything else, but they were not available to comment on exactly how many they sold. It is important to know as well that the Fire phone that was released was originally offered at $199 with a 2-year contract through AT&T. And just a couple months after it's released, it was slammed down to 99 cents. So, unfortunate for them. Now, it was said that it's not that Amazon's Fire tablets are poor quality. They are very good quality, and they are inexpensive compared to the iPads and Surfaces of the world. However, where they fall short is that the Fire tablets are not available in most physical stores, so consumers cannot test it in front of them compared to other products. And there are other companies that are offering equivalent products at less money that you can go and touch, you can play with, and you can make that impulse decision. So that's unfortunately what's successful for Amazon in the retail world hurts them in getting their own products out to the masses.
How much did you say their profit was?
It was only a mere 29 billion for the quarter.
That's revenue, though. That's not profit, right?
Let's see here. That was revenue. You're correct. I do not have the profit figure in front of me.
Okay. All right.
So, but profitability, earnings per share went up 45 cents a share. So, there's definitely profit there. I just don't have that number.
Wow. Yeah. So interns are checking on that currently.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yep.
Wade, why don't you take the reins?
Well, continuing on. Who here likes tech?
Not me.
No.
I like pens and paper and actually tech. Pencils. Pencils are better.
Don't like lasers?
No.
Swords made of light?
No.
Okay, so you don't like Star Wars?
No.
All right, then. Well, I guess we can talk this one out.
Moving on.
No, just kidding. I think we're all fans of Star Wars here.
Absolutely. Others.
Yep.
Brad.
Well, continuing on, there's the Humble Indie, or actually it's not even Indie, Humble Bundle Star Wars Edition going on right now. This includes games for right now as the base games you get when you purchase this particular product. You have the Knights of the Old Republic, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, and Dark Forces. Now, if you pay the more than the average, which when I looked was $11.42 American, that would be you get Battlefront 2, Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lord the edition, Republic Commando, and yet there would be more games added on that one. However, if you spend more than $12 American, you get Empire at War, the gold pack for that one. The Force Unleashed, the Ultimate Sith Edition, sorry. And the Force Unleashed 2. And by the time of this recording, there are 12 days left for that bundle. So the time upon this episode going out, you'll have 11 days, including that day.
So that should expire roughly the 16th of February.
Yeah. This averages roughly out, even without the gains, more gains being announced for the $11.42 price, to around $115 worth of games.
Of which Brad is buying as we speak.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to find my wallet. I
think he was, yeah. Little dumbfounded there of all the Star Wars going on, huh?
You know, that's an awesome bundle. There's some of those games that certainly bring back memories for me. I really, really enjoyed Knights of the Old Republic. And I have played the first of the Force Unleashed ones for Xbox, and it was a good game.
Yeah, I think I had the Force Unleashed number one also. I was looking through my game catalog, and I remember seeing something Star Wars related in the...
I think they do that. They put those things, like, in there, and they do, like, here's a weekend deal that you can test this game if you want to... Once the weekend's done, if you want to buy it, here you go. But, yeah, I think that's what they do. They kind of sneak in games that you don't technically own into your library on Steam.
Sure. Steam's a good platform, though, because, you know, for those of us that have multiple platforms, Windows and Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Steam's awesome for that.
It's kind of nice when they say, you know, this is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux, when it just shows the symbols there. We're not like, okay, well, here's this. Now I have to go onto Google to see if it's compatible and... Well, I'm getting reviews, but no one's telling me if it's good for Mac.
Yeah, no, they do a great job of that. And even on the Humble Bundle site, be advised that not all the games are available for all platforms, but they do show it very clearly on there, which games work on which platform. So I'm a big fan of the whole Humble Bundle setup.
Oh yeah, it's some games that you may not have played when they came out, and it's with $12 for all those games and apparently more to be announced in the $11.42 price. I mean, you're even getting more value on that as time unveils itself.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So question then, if I buy the bundle now, do I get the games that they haven't announced yet? Or do I need to wait for those?
I don't see why not. I don't, you know, that'd be kind of like a jerk move. They're like, well, the games that we didn't announce, you're gonna have to rebuy. Like, no.
I mean, if they're announcing that more games are going to be added, but the offer expires in 11, 12 days, I would imagine that they're going to either populate in your Steam library or, you know, appear as a temporary, you know, playable, something like that.
Sure.
I'd like to point out too that, you know, I think with the gaming industry the way that it is now, and mainly with the you know, we keep talking about the YouTube community, but there's a lot of, you know, focus on the new stuff. You know, what's coming out
Oh, yeah.
next, or what's the current this or that, or what's going into beta, what's in development. And people forget the sheer quantity of games that are truly available from previous generations. Just because they're not the latest and greatest on the newest console doesn't mean that they're bad games. You may have to adjust your expectations with some of the graphic quality. But, you know, some of these are older games by comparison. Doesn't mean that they're bad. And if you're getting this kind of a deal and you're a fan of Star Wars, why wouldn't you buy it?
And this is the Humble Bundle, so a portion of the proceeds do go to charity.
There you
Yes,
go.
keep that in mind. You're getting awesome games, a great package, and helping. It's a
So be
win-win.
helpful.
And continuing, if either is a game, older game that you cannot find, I do believe there is a site called GOG or Good Old Games where you might be able to find it completely. Do I say it? DRM free.
Bum bum bum.
So, if it's something you remember from the past, you may be able to find it there.
Good to know.
Awesome. So, before we go on to our final topic for this evening, fact checkers are back, and some of those numbers that you had quoted for Amazon just struck me, and I wanted to double check on something. So, run some calculations.
Okay.
And the figures are back. We covered Apple's financial statement last week.
That's correct.
We covered Amazon's financial statement this week. So in 2014, all of 2014, Amazon posted a profit for the entire year of $146 million. Not a bad showing.
Sure.
Apple earned that in 17.5 hours last quarter.
Holy crap.
Earned as profit, not earned as
As
money.
profit, yes, not as revenue. Pure profit.
Okay.
There's something to be said there.
At the moment, they are selling 34,000 iPhones every hour.
I'm slightly dumbfounded by that fact value.
34,000. I
And
haven't been able to verify this,
ever.
but the last I heard, take it with a grain of salt, but I heard that Apple is selling phones. You want another astounding number?
Not really.
Apple is selling iPhones at twice the birth rate of the entire world.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah, sure.
Everyone's gonna have two phones.
My head hurts a little bit right now. But yeah, sure, move on.
Okay, I'll get the ice.
Please.
Please. So, we've covered before a little enthusiast computing device called the Raspberry Pi. Yes. It is a computer on a circuit board about the size of a credit card.
Is it that small? Allows... I mean, I knew it was small, but I didn't realize it was that small.
Yeah, it's about a credit card size. It comes with USB ports, an Ethernet port, and it has, they're called headers. You know, the pin blocks that you can plug ribbon cables in?
Sure.
That let you add cameras and displays and all kinds of stuff onto it to build robots or customized computing devices. So the Raspberry Pi Foundation announced that they are going to be doing a hardware refresh, bringing the Raspberry Pi up to a more modern spec. So it will now host a 900 megahertz quad-core processor with 1 gig of RAM. Everything, physically speaking, will be identical. Same interfaces, same form factor, will fit in the same cases. And it'll be the same price. So $35 will get you started. The interesting second part to this is that spec now brings it sufficiently fast enough that Microsoft took a look at it. And Microsoft is in the process of updating Windows to Windows 10, their next big release. And they looked at it and went, you know what? This is doable. We're going to release a version of Windows 10 for Raspberry Pi, and it will be free.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Microsoft is really trying to rein back in the OS market. So you'll have Windows 10 for phones, tablets, for PCs. Now, they've announced that during the first year after it's released, which we're looking probably about 6 or 7 months until release, Windows 10 will be a free upgrade for anybody who has a valid Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 license. And now they're going to make it completely free forever. Well, as long as we can see anyway, for Raspberry Pi. So if you're a enthusiast or you're trying to get your kids into electronics and system building, you now have another option. There's several Linux variants that are already available for Raspberry Pi, but this will allow you to put Windows on it and learn to program and configure computers that way. Good on them.
Wasn't this also Windows 10 had the forced updates?
Yes. Right. You are correct. We did cover that a couple weeks ago. Windows 10 will be automatically updated.
Yeah, so free, but yet it has forced updates. Just caveat emptor there. I don't know
what version they're releasing for Raspberry Pi. They may be a stripped down version that doesn't do auto updates because of the limitations of the hardware.
Okay.
Well, so be mindful of that, but
yeah, maybe not. Definitely look into it. Obviously, nothing set in stone right now. The Raspberry Pi 2, as it is called, the Raspberry Pi 2 Model B, is available right now, but Windows 10 is still in technical preview, and it won't be released for, like I said, about 6 more months.
Yep.
But, you know, if you've got some spare change laying around, like I said, the Raspberry Pi is about $35 for the base model. I think their most expensive model is $45 or $55. Definitely get one. Play with it. It allows you to do things that you wouldn't normally do on your regular machine because you don't have to worry about breaking it. It's a spare. And at $35, it's almost pocket change.
Have you gotten one of these yet?
I have not yet, but it is on my wish list. And especially now that they've bumped the specs up, that's really enticing.
Yep.
And with their size of them, I mean, I travel full time, so, you know, everything that I do has to be portable. Well, being the size of a credit card, I can drop it in my laptop bag and I can program and play on the road.
Now, how do you power it, and how does the display work on it? How do you see what you're doing?
So it doesn't come with a display. That's extra. You can connect to it remotely over a network from your other computers.
Okay.
Kind of like we do with our server with the terminal.
Yes. Yep.
It's powered from a 5-volt, I think, brick.
Okay.
You know, just a wall wart brick.
Sure.
But there are options for that. There are people that have configured it to run off AA batteries. There are cool. there are people that have configured it. They've figured out the voltage or the amperage requirements of the Raspberry Pi and the output of a one of those mini solar panels.
Sure.
And they've managed to match it up. They're using it. What did I see it used for? I think it was like a file server, or maybe a router, a file wall or something. And it's solar powered.
Wow.
You just sit the panel in the window and plug your computer, the Raspberry Pi, into the network, and it's completely powered by sunlight.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's really cool.
So, if you are into, if you're a computer hardware enthusiast, or you want to get into it, or you want to introduce your kids, this is a really inexpensive way of doing it.
Very good. That's awesome. And, like you said, that was our last topic of the night. We are at our hour mark, which we know we don't want to take too much more of your time than that. Is there anything on the horizon either of us need to share?
None that I can think of.
Nope. Brad?
Nope.
Fantastic. Well, with that, guys, thanks for listening. Hey, let us know what you think about this and some of our other stuff. We're available on Twitter and Facebook, etc. With that, we'll catch you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.